kind of bright. Is my lighting kind of bright?
It's a little bit bright, but we are streaming live.
Out of, hello, I guess I'm supposed to do the robot and the bear. Robot and the bear, robot and the bear song. All right, yeah. Hey guys. Well, it's been a while. It's been a while. We've tried.
We've talked about it. But you know, life gets in the way of robot and the bear sometimes.
It certainly does.
I mean, there's stuff that the robot does, and there are things that the bear does.
Yeah. It's been a busy year for both of us.
Yeah. The bear going out of the country a lot. the robot. Well, I'm just kind of sitting around here, but, yeah, no, we're busy. We get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
We get it. Our, there's people who miss us. So thank you for missing us.
Thank you. Yeah. When was the last time we were on? Did I talk about going to London and all that stuff, or have we talked?
I don't know about that. Was it before? I think it was beforehand.
Yeah. So yeah. I went to London, had a show out there. It was interesting. London, I don't know if London like really likes me. I think there's some people that like me in London, but I think all in all, like I don't get no London love. And it's kind of a bummer.
I think our last podcast was Nathan Ota, by the way.
Oh, was it?
That was a long time ago.
Holy shit, that was a long time ago.
Anyway,
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, London doesn't love you. What happened in London?
Well, you know, I had a show at Dorothy Circus Gallery, and it was a 16 or 14 painting, 14 painting, 14 or 15 painting show. And sales were not great. And part of me is wondering whether or not I was just trying to do, I did too many, like, this is what I think of when I think of London, you know, paintings.
So do you think people in London didn't want to see paintings that were your sort of view on London?
Or England in general. I did stuff about I did some paintings about their food. I did some paintings about their colonialism. I did some paintings about their hoity-toityness. I think they're all pretty funny. I thought everyone would get a laugh out of it.
Do you think it's funny to Americans, but maybe not to an English person?
I think English people have great senses of humor. You know, Monty Python.
Benny Hill was a very funny guy.
Yeah, Benny Hill. You know, that was actually one thing I should have touched up on was, you know, Benny Hill. But what was it, like, didn't they have like their like mag and their newspaper where they like, I think certain sections or certain pages would always have like boobs and stuff.
There's something, I don't know what that is, but yeah, there was something like that.
Yeah. See, I remember like trying to stay up late to watch Benny Hill, just like when I was like a really little kid, just so I could see the boobs.
Yeah, but you didn't really see boobs, right?
I don't remember ever seeing boobs.
I don't think they could show that, obviously, in American television. But I think the idea is you could fill in the blanks.
Right.
We're creative. We're creative young men or young people, I guess, at the time. We're very creative. We can fill in those blanks. Yeah.
Yeah, but I couldn't. No, I needed to see it. No.
Yeah, but I don't think you were able to see it.
I think you're right, because
you remember seeing it.
I think I had people tell me that they saw it. What?
Maybe in England. I don't know.
Well, I didn't know people in England back then. Like, you know, it was also like 81, 82, maybe even before that, like 79, 78, when, you know, I really wanted to like, you know, catch that stuff. And I kind of feel like at that time, television was just this weird wild, wild west, right? It was still kind of like figuring itself out. It was like, it was dominated by the three big ones, ABC, NBC, CBS.
Yeah.
Then it had, you know, a couple of like renegade channels.
Like maybe local stuff, right?
Right. Yeah. And I think that maybe those channels like took the risks of showing like those, you know, British titties, but I don't know.
All I know is that sped up section at the end where they're chasing each other around.
Yeah.
It was just the best. I don't know. That part was just so funny.
Well, it had the music. You had the music.
Yeah. And then the part where he slaps the bald guy in the head. You remember that?
I think I do.
He would always slap a bald guy in the head and it was like slap, slap, slap. And then I remember, so this was bad, but in middle school, junior high school, we would sometimes slap people in the head and go, oh, that's a Benny Hill. Like, you got Benny Hilled. Like,
wow.
So, yeah. We would slap people in the head because he would slap a bald guy in the head and we would slap people in the head and just, we would call him Benny Hill. We'd go, ah, Benny Hill. It's so bad, huh? Isn't that bad?
That's pretty great. That's pretty great. Especially like if you're like, you know, you're 11, you know, something like that. And like none of your compatriots were bald at the time.
No, so you just get slapped. If you get slapped in the head, you get Benny Hilled.
Yes. It had nothing to do with whether or not you actually had hair or not. Because
there's nothing to do with it. Yeah.
You're 11 or 12, you still had a full head of hair.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, okay, so for those that, I mean, I guess you can always YouTube Benny Hill Show. I don't know.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's better not to.
But the eating was good in England. The eating was great.
Really? So did you eat nothing but Indian food? Because that's supposed to be good there? Or what did you have?
I don't think I actually ate any Indian food when I went out there. I went to Borough Market, had a crazy sandwich out there. A crazy sandwich.
How crazy can a sandwich be?
Just lots of flavors. Lots of flavors.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it was good. And then afterwards, I went to France and went to Paris. Okay. At the channel. Tunneled on into Paris, and we stayed at one of Rachel's like family friend's place. So, and it was like located on one of those little islands on the Seine River.
Like Saint-Louis, is that the one, Saint-Louis?
Maybe, it's the one.
The one with that church that burned down?
There's two little islandettes.
Yeah. One's San Luis, and the other one is the one with the thing that burned down. What is it called? I'm blowing it. I don't remember what it's called.
I stayed there, and I can't.
Notre Dame. Yeah, okay, so the other one is called San Luis. Do you know why?
Why?
Get this. I stayed on that island before.
Oh, really? Lots of ice cream.
Yes.
There.
Yes, I have. And yes, there was ice cream. There was even bakeries. There was some tourists. I mean, there was all of it. And I stayed on that island.
Yeah. It was great. You wake up in the morning and you look to your left and, you know, there's Notre Dame, and you look to your right and
yes,
there's the, you know, a hall, there's City Hall, I guess, or something like that.
But it's small enough. You could walk it easy.
Yep.
It's kind of nice. It's like a mini town in a town, right? I liked it.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah. No, I dug it. So yeah, I stayed there and I guess I did something similar. Although I probably did not eat at the great places that you went to. I ate a lot of tourist food.
We did tourist food. Because you can't just eat great places all the time. You just blow out your palate that way. And I don't feel like I had any particularly great meals on this trip, but
Did you just eat a baguette ever?
Oh yeah. We ate lots of bread. Lots of bread.
And do you notice how cafes in Paris, the seats all face one way, which is out to the city? Like they don't face, you don't face each other. You sit next to somebody, but you're both facing to the town or the city or the rest of the world. Whereas here it's like the seats are like you're staring at your friend eye to eye, but there it's no, you're facing out.
Yeah, it's nice.
So cool.
It's nice.
Yeah. Like maybe in LA, there's, you don't want to do that. Like you don't want to go look at cars and smog and all this stuff. But yeah. In Paris, oh no, 20 seats will be facing everything else but their own restaurant. Pretty cool, right? Do you notice that? I mean, I remember that everywhere.
Of course.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, you can get an espresso or whatever, and you chill out, and you just get this view of beautiful city. Whereas here, no one does that.
Well, it's because we don't have a beautiful city.
That's my point. That is exactly where I was getting at. I was hoping that our listeners would draw their own conclusions, but basically, yeah.
No.
I was trying to make it obvious.
LA is fucking ugly. LA,
yeah, but that's something awesome. Everywhere you go in, at least Paris, I notice the seats always face out.
Do you ever pity the tourists that come here? Like, it's like sad. Like why the fuck would you want to actually come?
Yeah, I know, right? I feel bad.
Like, it's like, why? Yeah. It's a shithole, you know? I mean, like, I love this shithole. I'm
like it here, but yeah, I always feel bad when I hear where they go, and I'm like, oh, you know, like, oh, you went to the Walk of Fame in Hollywood, and you know, and even, I mean, gosh, I used to enjoy Venice Beach, kind of, and then I'm kind of like, oh, I wouldn't want to even go to Venice Beach, and I don't enjoy it now, and you know, it's like there's all these things that I'm just like, oh, all this is made just for you, but it's not really Los Angeles.
No,
it's made for tourism, you know.
Tourism, but like, whenever I'm traveling to like say, you know, Europe or Asia or something like that, like I'm greeted with great public transportation and you know, relatively affordable ride share, like cabs or like you know, gig whatever like ride share things and. You just don't have that here in Los Angeles.
Well, it just costs a lot to get across town. But do you think it's a matter of us just being here for so long and we're just thinking everywhere's better but here? And then people come here and they're like, you know, and then people come here and they're like, well, I'm from Reno or Fresno or whatever. And they're just like, this is amazing. Santa Monica Pier, amazing. You know, like Hermosa
shopping.
Beach Pier, amazing.
The shopping here is like growing up in Fresno, living in San Luis Obispo. The shopping in like LA is way better, right? Like if there's something I want to get, I know it'll show up here eventually.
Right.
You know, you don't have those guarantees in like say San Luis Obispo or
No.
And
no chance even.
Like I think that is
that would be a person who went there on vacation and forgot it in their hotel room and it showed up on OfferUp.
But the thing is, right? now that you can order, buy anything and everything basically off the internet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like what's the point?
I don't know. For me, I guess going places, I don't know. But I think for me it's less about the sites, but for me, it's just still sometimes sometimes I don't do anything. I go somewhere else and I don't do anything, but I still have a good time. Like, I'm just like, oh, this was great. And what did you do? I stayed within 4 blocks of my hotel and I didn't even go anywhere. And I'm just like, you know what? I had a great day today in Japan, right? I've done that a few times where I just do that sometimes and I dig it. So I don't know. Maybe it's just being in a different place is always rad.
Yeah, well,
I'm not sure. Maybe they feel the same coming from somewhere else, but I don't know. I have a hard time seeing it here.
Well, I think that another thing is, of course, like, you know, the art shows, right?
We're a little better than maybe someone else's town.
I think we're better than most of the country.
Right.
I think that,
I believe that too.
I think the only kind of competition we might have is probably New York. Like last weekend was gallery opening hell. Like I could think of 4 openings that were happening on Saturday. You had an opening.
Oh, the greatest one of all time. Yes.
It's the, yeah, it's the greatest one of all time. Okay. Yeah, sure. And, KP.
You had one, right?
KP Projects had one. ThinkSpace had one. And Corey Holford.
Yep. Yeah.
And yeah. I ended my evening at Corey Holford where I had that paint. I had a painting for the Kirby.
Congrats. That Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Yeah, I did the Fantastic Four painting. That was pretty fun. That was kind of tedious to work on, but
that one, it looked so good. Wait, what's the size of that painting?
This is 11 inches by 4 inches.
Wait, 11 by 4?
11 by 14, I'm sorry.
Oh, 14, okay.
Sorry, I'm getting...
Oh, okay, I don't know why it looked like it'd be bigger.
I just didn't want to take that kind of risk.
It looks really great though when I saw it. I told you when I thought it was actually a collage. I thought that you took artwork already done or blew up artwork already done and just painted your bare thing in it and you didn't paint the other three characters.
Oh, no. Yeah. I mean, I traced it all. I definitely...
No, but still, I just thought you did some print. You just made a print of Kirby art and then you just painted one character on it.
No, I'm
really good.
I'm not that good at freaking like doing that kind of stuff. No, that's
amazing.
So, but yeah, and you had who was your
Maggie role? Chang? Maggie yeah. Chang? Yeah. Yeah.
You went all out for that. You had bonsai. No.
Yeah, we had bonsai plants that are more expensive than her art and some catering. Yeah. Catering and some bonsai plants that were literally, I think if you add up all three, yeah, it's worth more than all of her artwork.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I didn't really, I don't even know what the price of bonsai.
I mean, I think the one in that, the very first one that you'd see when you walk in.
The island?
Was between $10,000 and $20,000, that
Holy
one.
Shit.
Yeah, just that one. And then there was two others, and I don't know what the value is. But I asked the guy on Monday, I said, hey, is this like 10,000 or 20? He goes, oh, it's above 10 for sure. You know? And,
it was kind of a big bonsai.
It's a good looking one for sure. And it has like a part that's dead, I guess you would say, like a bark part that's dead. And then there's a plant growing out of it. It's just really cool looking. And it's really good looking.
Isn't the size kind of, doesn't it betray the idea of the bonsai tree?
It wasn't that big. It's still carryable. You carry it.
And
it'd
be like
it's a tree. That's some Miyagi shit. That's the cheap Miyagi bonsai. This is real. No, no, but these trees are ones that you can carry physically. They're not that heavy. You could just carry it and walk around, and no big deal. So you are carrying a tree like as if it's a baby or something.
So her she worked with them. I think that's
She does. She has a vivarium, I think it's called. Like just basically like a big indoor, I don't know, man. An indoor plant thing. It's like a IKEA glass case that's hacked into a kind of a, I don't know, like a terrarium or something, right? She has one of those.
Is this something she does or is this?
Yeah, it's like a hobby. It's like a hobby. Then she loves that nursery where she gets supplies. And then she meets bonsai master Kyle, is his name. He's like the grandson of the founder of that nursery. Mm. And then he's a fan of her art. So she did a t-shirt for the nursery that you could buy there.
Oh, cool.
Which is kind of cool. And she actually, on the bonsai, she drew a bonsai on the back of the t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And said, this is my favorite one. So she actually drew it. And then he just said, oh my God, that's literally my favorite one. It's like, and then so like, it's one that he said, oh, he goes, I actually worked on this one a bunch, but you know, it's one that existed before he was alive even. Mm-hmm. But he said he works on that one a lot. And so that's his favorite one. It's a really cool looking one. So she drew that on the back and picked it. There's just a lot of serendipity. And, you know, I just asked for, I was like, hey, man, maybe we should show some bonsai with Maggie's show. And he was like, he was totally into it.
Oh, that's nice.
And then he said, we'll do more stuff at some point soon. So.
And there was no bonsai from my shows.
Well, when was the last show again?
2 years ago.
Like 5 years ago? It's time for another one. God. It's just that time.
Anyway. I will try and see what I can be able to do for you, Ben. I like.
We'll bring something else back.
You know, do some graphite stuff. It'll be fun and
awesome.
You know,
awesome, awesome.
You know, but what? But do you think like? How do you feel about like, you know, where was I going with this?
Uh-oh, are you doing a Biden? COVID. No.
It's time to find a replacement for me.
No, I felt so bad watching that. But anyways, oh my regardless. God, okay, that was we got so a comment.
Go.
I know. We have a comment from Vlesinda who says, yay, you guys are back.
We are back. We've never been gone. We just
yeah, it's true.
We just, you know, sometimes you get robots, sometimes you get bear.
Right. Or yeah. Sometimes you get none.
And sometimes you get none.
So what are you working on these days, Luke? Because I always, every time I see, I'm looking at your studio, I guess, and I don't get an idea of what you're working on. I see two canvases on the table from Blick.
Yep, some Blick canvas. I'm a transitioning from panel to canvas, because the rest of the world likes canvas more than they like panels.
What do you think about that? Like when you put enough gesso on it, you can't even tell.
Sure. I don't mind. I really don't mind. It is lighter. It is less delicate. The problem with the panels that I use ampersand panels. One here. I use, you know, these things, and like the corners chip so easily. Like I've seen so many of my paintings while I'm working on them or on people's walls where the corners are chipped because, like, you know, life accidents happen and.
Gotcha.
You know, then I'm stuck, like, and then they'll kind of look at me like, hey, you mind fixing it?
How do you fix that?
I just
paint it or something?
I use, like, a little bit of acrylic medium or, like, some hard paste, and I'll fill it and sand it a little bit, and then I'll repaint it. Yeah, and then,
wow.
You know, so it's a little bit of work.
So with the purchase of a Luke Chu art comes the lifetime, while you're alive, guarantee that you will fix a problem. That everybody, listen.
No.
You got that right.
Oh, no, I've only done that. But I've only done it like twice. And
but if somebody else asks, you'll do it. So make sure you ask if you have a damaged Luke Chu art. He'll fix it for free anytime you ask.
Yeah, no, but that'll be it. That'll be it. I'll do it once, you know. But
oh, one more. Whoever has a damaged one, hurry up. Contact Luke. You get a freebie. After that, it's going to cost you.
Or, you know, what they could do is they could fly me out and to wherever they are and, like, put me up for a couple nights or a night, feed me, and I'll fix it.
So you're going to go to Anus, Idaho to fix this, a painting in Idaho?
I would love to go to Idaho.
Anus, Idaho. It's called.
Is there a place called Anus?
No, I'm just making it up.
Like, I would. I've never been to Idaho. Have you been to Idaho?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. See, like, why are you talking shit?
Yeah, because I feel like it. Bring it on, Idaho. Defend yourselves.
This is your California pretentiousness, you know?
That's right. That's right.
Why they hate us? You know, this is the reason why they hate us. You are the problem with this country.
Do you know anyone in Idaho?
I probably met people from Idaho.
No. I'm just kidding. I'm like, no. Probably so. Anyways.
I know. I find, like, the Midwest in general to be fascinating.
So, you know what I'm fascinated by is Appalachia or Appalachia.
Mm.
Like,
right.
Because that's a place that if I went, everybody would act different. So I would never understand what it's really like there, right? If I went there, people would be like, oh, shit. You know, like. Yeah. Who's that? Right. They'd be looking at me weird and they wouldn't act like, you know, if I were a white dude, I'd walk in, they would just be like, what's up, man? What are you doing over there? And I'd be like, but you know what I'm saying? For me, I'd become like, they're, you know, it'd be all weird.
Well, I think you get that same like thing in small towns across, you know, California.
Yes, for sure. Because those, for sure. But not as much as Appalachia. I don't think they've ever seen an Asian there.
You're probably right. You're probably right.
Maybe not.
I think the Appalachian Mountains, I don't know. It doesn't quite as appeal to me. Like people think of, you know, the Appalachian Mountains, we think of what's that movie called? The Dueling
X-Files, where there's inbred.
No, the Dueling Banjo one. Reverence, or
I forgot what it's called.
Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah. Up right now because I
forgot. Yeah, I don't know, but there's a lot of, you know, baggage like inbred stuff, which is probably BS. So, I mean, there's some, but there's probably some everywhere. There's probably a ton in Japan. Deliverance. There's a ton of inbred in Japan, for that matter. So it's like, you know what I mean? It's like, it's everywhere. So
there's the same way. And like, you know, from my understand, I remember I used to watch these videos on YouTube about like Americans, white Americans who lived in China, and they would be like traversing like all these different like areas of China, and like the racism was like pretty brutal, and you know, it was like pretty, like it had that Appalachian kind of like feel about it.
Yeah, no, it's just rural. It's just the exact opposite of what's going, you know, or similarity, just opposite people.
Sure.
Yeah.
But like, and these guys, they would like step into like hotel rooms. No, it would just be cards of, or prostitution rings and stuff like prostitution services and stuff like that all over the place. And but the thing is that prostitution is illegal in China, so it could be like a setup to.
Oh, it's illegal there?
Apparently.
Oh.
Apparently, I mean, I'm sure it happens. I mean, but then again, like, you know, like crazy shit happens over there. Like there, I remember I was just somewhat recently watching a video about like women being kidnapped from large cities and then brought to small towns where they would just do terrible things to them and, you know, make them have children and all this other stuff. It's, you know, could be like, I don't know, remnants of like that one child policy where, you know,
damn,
women were, and I don't know. Anyways, so yeah, that's a thing. And I guess, you know, like isolated pockets of any country would just be a little bit,
yeah,
you know, sketchy. And so I'm, and you know, but like, I don't know, like, don't you think about, like, I think about stuff like, no, like Skyline Chili from Cincinnati. Like that's kind of one of my bucket list foods. Like
Skyline Chili?
Yeah, it's the one where they serve like, you know, pasta noodles with a big scoop of chili and a big mountain of yellow cheese.
I'm in. sounds amazing.
It sounds amazing to me. Like, yeah,
That sounds good.
You know, it kind of.
That's regional, probably, for that area, I assume, or something special. I think special.
It's regional, but I also, like, someone was telling me that they might have a place, the restaurant that started on might have a spot in Las Vegas.
But oh, wow.
It's not the same. Speaking of, I went to New York. Whatchamacallit?
You went to Five Points.
I went to Five Points. I did Five Points.
Yeah. So Five Points is a toy, like a designer con, more of toy figures only. Is that kind of Five Points? More so just toy figures?
It was a toy figure thing. And
okay.
It was kind of like designer con.
And, right. But smaller, I take it.
Way smaller. Very, it has a very mom and pop kind of feel to it.
Where does it take place? Like in a like a gym, basketball gym type of size, or smaller?
Maybe even a little bit smaller. Like I don't know. I grew up around pretty large basketball gyms, but like it had maybe like a space where you like took out like one side of the bleachers, and you know, that floor, it was a, I don't know, it wasn't small, but it wasn't like, you know, big. It's not like, and
is it like a size of a tennis court? I don't know.
Bigger, I don't know.
But either way, it's like that. It's not like some, it's not even, it's not like a bedroom size. It's a bit, it's, there's like what, 20 vendors, maybe 30?
A lot more than that.
Okay. Then that's good.
Like maybe like 40 main tables and like a bunch of like artists, like alley-ish tables.
Oh, good. Okay.
But awesome. it was interesting to me because the, like say like maybe 5-6 years ago, maybe 10 years ago or something like that. Like I remember when Sufubi was like the hot thing, like everyone was just like, oh my God, Sufubi. Ah.
Right. Do they still do that? I mean, I don't know if COVID kind of wiped out everybody's slate and we're starting over type of thing, but
it's, I mean, depending on the, I guess it depends on the producer, right? Right.
Yeah.
Like, I think Mutant Vinyl Hardcore, I don't know whether or not you've heard of them. Like, they had,
I've heard of them, yeah.
They had, like, I think they were doing a raffle, and I happened to be walking around while one of the raffles were happening, and there was this, it seemed like everyone who was at the convention center was, like, in front of their booth, you know.
Wow. Is that, are they from out there, or are they from, like, out here?
I'm not sure.
Oh, okay.
I'm not sure, but I do follow them. And
are these tattooed dudes with beards?
Most likely bald. T-shirts?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's sort of a, there's a look, right?
There is a look.
Right? There's a kaiju, American kaiju fan look. And I was kind of getting at what they kind of look like. I mean, this is a stereotype maybe, but tattooed dude, facial hair, facial bald. Hair.
Good chances of our wearing glasses, wearing a hoodie. But yeah, that was definitely, hold on. I'm sorry. Getting
so weird. Mutant Vinyl Hardcore, it's called. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Mutant Vinyl had a thing, but like, there was another guy, honestly, it was probably the first time I've ever heard of, I've heard of them, called Fifth Turtle. And
oh, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, and they were doing like resin figures, like small double cast, really nice looking, you know, like resins. And they had a line. I think people were camping out for them.
Wow! Congrats, and, that's great.
You know, as soon as the doors opened, like on the first day, we were sitting there and we just watched this line, like kind of going from outside all the way in front of my and. You know, to their booth, and I was just like, wow.
Do you think they would have the same reception at a DCon, or do you think that's like a regional, like they're popular in New York or popular in the East Coast?
I'm not sure. Like, I've seen resin kind of like, you know, like get big in DCon. Like, I started noticing like kind of a resin thing happening, say.
Was it clear resin type of stuff?
Like clear resin.
Gotcha. Okay.
Double pours where like they're pouring clear resin on the outside and they're pouring something else on the inside and doing all kinds of
effects.
People are
become creative and good at this stuff. It's amazing.
Yeah, and it, you know, because it's like, resins, everything is super limited edition because you know, you can only, like, a mold will only produce so many of them before the mold goes bad. And then, like, it requires, it's, you know, resin in general is just such a laborious medium. Like, you're sitting there, like, you know, like, trying to, like, you know, buff out, like, seam lines and flash it.
Right.
And flash it. Yeah. And you don't want any, like, divots or whatever, especially on the clear because all of that stuff.
Maybe, like, shitty bubbles.
Right. You have to have
There might be good bubbles, but there's shitty bubbles you don't want, right?
Well, good bubbles.
That look like piss bubbles, like when you pee and there's bubbles on the side of the toilet and you're like, no, that's not the good bubble.
That's not the good bubble, yo.
The good one is trapped inside like amber. You know,
I don't even know if they like bubbles in resin. I've never seen intentional bubbles, bubbleage.
But you know, in amber, it looks good. Anyways, but so,
yeah. But yeah, so like you had really hot for some reason.
And, did you have a line?
I had cluster. I had a little bit. Not a little bit. Not really.
I mean,
like,
you being from the West Coast, it's a little bit of a rarer visit for you.
Sure, but I'm also not playing that like ridiculous, stupid limited edition game. Like I'm, you know, like doing stuff with like companies in fucking China where I'm producing, you know, hundreds of pieces.
Gotcha.
As opposed to like 10. And
but you are motherfucking Luke Chu. I don't know. There's something to that.
Well, again, I don't know, but I think that, you know, I don't know, like, I'm almost an old timer now, so.
Yeah, maybe. Does that matter? Like, is Paul Kaiju a big deal at Five Points? Was he there?
I didn't see him there.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see him. He could have been there.
He's kind of an old timer, right?
Yeah, but his
I mean, he's been around.
He's been around. His sculpts are freaking amazing, though. Like, he's an amazing sculptor. Like, sure. Him and James Grohman. James Grohman is, like, you know, he does, like, he's an old-timer. Like, that guy's been, like, designing and sculpting toys since, I think, like, the 90s. Like,
wow.
You know, he's been doing, like, and working for large companies. Like, I think he did stuff for, what was the one where it was like Monster Balls?
Yeah, I never bought those, but I know what you're talking about.
They were a little bit after our time.
Sure.
But like, I think he sculpted those and he's done a lot of stuff. And now he's kind of doing like the indie circuit and he's doing
productions
for Mondo and stuff. Really nice guy. But yeah, I think that it's, I don't know. It was interesting. It was interesting. I thought it would be bigger because I felt like it was like the West Coast, the East Coast's like, you know,
decon.
But like,
and it wasn't, right?
Yeah, it wasn't. And I think in August, there's another convention called Collected Con happening
in Chicago.
In Chicago,
are you going?
No, not this year. Simply because of the
it's a first year, correct?
The first year, but I also have plans. I'm doing a convention in Singapore called put on by like the Pop Mart people.
Right. Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So.
Damn.
An excuse to go out to Singapore.
You are just going to the source. Way to go.
I love Singapore. Yeah, I don't love the weather. Yeah,
that's cool.
I've got friends.
Yeah. It's humid and hot all year round. So yeah.
So hot out there.
Yeah, I understand, but that's cool. What's that one called in the one in Singapore?
I don't know, I can't remember. Pop Mart Toy Show or PMT, is it PMTS?
Pop. But then so Collected Con is a new one, right? That's happening. And then I guess isn't there another one? I guess that's no, then there's Decon going to be in Las Vegas.
Yeah,
that's in November.
Right.
So I guess the idea is there's just more. Is the toy scene kind of sort of like spreading just a little bit, or is it just people in their town saying, you know what, we need to have an event, like we should do it, and who's gonna do it? Well, we have to. I mean, it might not be big, but you know, I'm just wondering if that's just what it's like.
Sure. I I'm glad that these things are happening, and I wish them all the best of luck. I wish I had the time to do the Chicago one, but the truth of the matter, like, I also have like group shows that I'm participating in, and I've got a pretty big show in Melbourne in Australia in November. So
are you going?
I'm hoping to go. Yeah.
Wow. Cool.
I've never been south of the equator, so.
Ooh, what's? I don't think I have either. Is Costa Rica south of the equator?
I don't know
either if that is. That's probably the furthest south I ever went. I don't know if it is. Is it? It might not be. I don't think it is. I'm going to say no.
Without looking at a map,
I think it does not. It's not even.
No, I think it's pretty close. Yeah.
I don't know. Okay, but sounds good, man.
Yeah. I'm Googling Costa Rica south of the equator.
Oh, you don't have to.
It's 10 degrees north.
Hey.
Yeah.
So I was there.
Close. I think the southernmost point I've probably been to is Singapore. Like that feels. I don't know. It feels kind of close to me.
Could be.
Yeah. You know, especially with all the tropical fucking weather that it has.
So are you going to have a schedule of conventions? Is that sort of the idea?
No.
Okay. I wasn't sure are you planning this next year where I'm going to do 6 conventions versus whatever you do in a year, 3 or 2 or something.
I only usually do 1.
Yeah. But I was wondering if you're stepping it up.
A little bit, yeah. I stepped it up. I'm stepping it up this year only because I have the production figure for.
Yeah, but then won't you be have different ones? You'll have different ones next year, right? So, I was wondering if you're going to keep it up and. Is that part of the plan?
I don't know whether I'll have. Many. I've got. When I did this first one, I had a total of 5 colorways, and I've released 3 of them so far. Which means I've got 2 more, and I plan on kind of like letting them out, across the rest of the year. I'll probably do another one in September, and I'll do the final one in November. Though I do have some ideas for a 6th and final colorway, or maybe I don't know. I was talking to 3D Retro about doing something exclusive for Designer Con too, but. I don't know. And 3D Retro. Well, I don't know. We'll see. I would love to kind of start, going, developing design that I could show off by November.
Make a robot in the bear figure. You think you should just do it? Do it. It'll be Luke Chu production. You can do it. Do it.
I think it should be a co-production, Eric.
Fine, but you should do it. Start. You have the means. You have a in your next room back there somewhere, and one of these back rooms is a guy who can do it all in 3D tomorrow.
Dave Bondi is my studio mate.
He can do 3D. He's got a good sensibility.
Well, Here's the thing, Eric. We have to be a little bit more regular on the podcast,
Wait a second here. We have like 85 episodes in the can. This is 86 or 7
across 6 years.
You know how many don't even make it to 10? Most. We've paid already. We paid some dues. But you're right. It has to be regular, but the figure, there's a giant robot. There's Luke Chu together. That's a mash.
If you're willing to collaborate,
it's a powerful mash. I think we should. Yes.
Should we do a Japanese vinyl thing? Should we get it on the queue for?
Do we do that or do we go straight to China?
A minimum order thing.
Of what? 100?
Probably. More than that,
probably 100. It can be done. We can do it.
Like all the tooling for molds, like that's like 10 G's right there. So
no, it's less
for the parts. The number of parts that we're going to need for this,
it's all done in 2 parts. It's all good. I know it's going to be. Let's see. Oh yeah, there's probably like 6 or something. 6.
Like if we do the T-shirt design, I wish we could be able to pull the illustration up right now,
Oh, come on. It's easy for everybody to find. But yeah, okay. Well, we'll talk about it. We should do it. So, the last bit, I guess, because we're on for like 45 already.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about is there an art recession? That's the question. Is there an art recession?
If there is, I'm feeling it, man.
Is there an art recession? Because that's something to talk about, I think. I don't know if I'm not trying to stir up, what do you call it, like paranoia about it? Because, but it's out there, right? Like, does everybody knows, right? It's not like we're just talking about it, but it's not some secret, right?
No, it's not a secret. Okay. I definitely think there's an art recession. I got lucky in the sense that, like, because I did this production toy and, like, it's, you know, relatively affordable, you know, considering, like, I'm, you know, staying afloat. I guess, you know, like, we'll find out how things go after November. Because, you know, I think, you know, a lot of people are potentially, like, shying away. Like, well, first of all, there's the recession in China.
Yeah, yeah. Is that, like, getting better or is that just getting worse? I have no idea.
I have no idea either.
I just know that every buyer of art from China that I've ever worked with
bailed
and sold art to bailed and are ghosting. Like, they're not even replying, not even saying, hey, I can't right now, blah, blah, blah. They don't even reply. Like, they're not saying anything. They're just not replying.
Maybe
even if you write to them,
firewall, maybe the Great Firewall is freaking, like, blocking out your, you know,
it's not just mainland China. There's the ones in Hong Kong and Taiwan. They mostly don't write back either. They don't write back for the most part. Mm. So there's been this, you know, like, I noticed that, like, they're just gone. So, yeah, yeah, no, that's been maybe, that's not new. That's, I want to say 6 months. It's been like that, maybe.
Oh, really?
Or more, maybe more around there though. Oh, six oh. months, maybe six Long months or
that.
Yeah. 4 to 6 months. No, when they're just not replying, it's been like 6 months, maybe.
Wow.
I think I got a reply from some in November and December last year, but yeah, I think there's none now.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. So but I don't think that's a regular. I think that's probably the same across the board for most, you know? And I mean, they're not, it's just a matter of people talking about it or not talking about it. But I think that's just my experience. And that's just the ones that I'm noticing.
Well, like, you know,
they disappeared first.
my show, like, if my show in England is any, like, you know, like, you know, metric, then, like, yeah, there's definitely a fucking recession. And it's kind of like, I don't know. I had some collect some. I was told that some collectors were complaining about my pricing. I don't feel
it's consistent, right, with what you normally do.
Yeah, I thought it was
right,
but like apparently, like, you know, in 2 years they don't want you to, like, you know, raise your prices.
Oh.
You know, and I always raise my prices, like, especially when I had a successful year. And last year I had a successful year, you know, and this year, you know, like, just kind of feels a little bit, a little light on the sales, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, like, I don't mind. I don't mind getting, you know, these paintings back because I'm sure I can be able to, like, you know, reinsert them into other, you know, events, especially locally.
I guess it's hard for us to even determine, I mean, how long is this going to be for?
Well, you know,
like, is this the thing that's going to end in Christmas time and people are going to be like, you know what, I'm going to buy shit, or is it not, you know? Like, I'm not sure. Does that continue?
Do you think that the election is going to, like, be
maybe
an important metric?
Could be, yeah. Or maybe that is the metric. I'm not sure. I can't tell.
Because
it's happening without the election happening yet, kind of. Just, you know, it's been happening. And then now it's going to get into some gear right now, right? The all the campaigning. It's going to start, so at least from now. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of talk about, like, Biden, like, you know, pulling out too. So that, like, really will kind of up a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like, it's hard for me to, like, even
guess that kind of stuff. As a gallery owner, what do you feel? Like, do you feel that, like...
Oh, definitely the higher end sales are not happening. And my higher end isn't as high end as all your other gallery friends, I guess you'd say. Mine are lower, but yeah, I'm noticing the higher end is a little bit more difficult to sell.
Right. For sure.
Like that's an obvious, I'm starting to, I've been seeing that, and that's been happening for a bit. You know, I mean, that's happening probably with everybody. Lower end stuff, you know, but my lower end is lower than everyone else's lower end. So maybe there's some sales still happening there. But, you know, but yeah, I do notice that anything that's higher than, let's say, $500 is slowing down. Even, you know, no matter who it is, I'm noticing it's a slower, I'm seeing a little bit of a slowdown. And, you know, but it's like one of those things, well, what do I do? You know, it's like, I keep going, right? You know, I keep going, but I'm not sure of like what, yeah, I don't know what, if there's an end point in sight or is there a plateau happening? I have no idea. But I mean, if the stock market's an indication, I mean, that keeps going up, you know, that part's going up.
Right.
But, I think I spoke with, who's our friend who works at Disney? Who was on one episode?
Scott Tolson.
Sorry. No, another one. Animation, maybe Disney Animation. I feel bad. He listens to the pod. He was on one episode too.
Oh, gee.
You know, he's got glasses, baseball hat, maybe a little bit of facial hair. And
Scott Tolson.
No, another one. Oh, I'm sorry, man. It is going to come to me too late. Anyways, he told me that, he said part of the slowdown time coincided with the animation layoffs in the animation industry. Like, what is it called? Cartoon Network closing down. Andrew Brandow. That's who it is. Andrew Brandow.
Uh-huh.
But he told me, yeah, Cartoon Network closed in December or November or December. And then, you know, that's 400 people that were out of work, or at least at that moment. And then that's 400 possible customers that are exactly
Don't
my customers.
Don't fucking buy other people's art.
What's that?
Art?
Yeah, maybe not.
like illustrators, like.
Yeah, but these are people in animation, not just artists. You know, these are probably people in all the fields that are customers, possibly, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, maybe, you know. And there you go.
I know there's that, like,
people out of work. So I don't know. That could be that. There's a lot of reasons, but yeah, I don't know what the plateau is or.
Well, a lot
when,
of people from,
you know,
Google have been fired. A lot of people from like the tech business have been.
Yeah, video games too. Video games, right? There's layoffs and
you know, like,
maybe it's.
I think we. I mean, like, you're like literally like down the street from Riot Games.
There's a lot of layoffs there. I think
a lot of layoffs there. I know people who from Google who got fired. People from Facebook, from Meta, who got fired.
Right.
Like the, yeah. Those are the people that, like, I feel would have, you know, bought, like.
Sure. I mean, these are just like, yeah, people, maybe they're not in the art part of it, but they like the art part of it. They're, you know, it's part of their lifestyle, but.
Sure.
Yeah, those are people that are out. And maybe, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's like the uncertainty of it. Maybe it just kind of makes everybody paranoid. It's like, well, I got my job, but maybe I should hold on to my dollars, you know? Maybe. I'm not sure.
Right.
I have no idea. But, you know, these are all just lame hypotheticals. Maybe some of it's right. Maybe some of it's wrong. But, you know, I just know that it's kind of happening. But, you know.
Mm.
Yeah, at least in art. I think it's in art. I mean, because people are still going to go to restaurants. They're going to party. They're going to drink. That's... You know what
Actually,
I mean? But then
I understand drinking has like died down significantly too. I was reading articles about like how like the younger generation are just not as like, you know, gung-ho about going out to bars and, you know.
They're going
to
buy that $8 boba and they're going to eat that $8 dessert, that crepe, that, you know what I mean? That crepe line is long.
Let fucking has let the dessert place across the street from Giant Robot or is GR2 or literally a couple shops away from the bookstore. Yeah, that place always has a fucking
long line at night. And man, that's like an $8 ass crepe. And I don't know, man. I've had it and it's all right.
I've had it. But it's all right. I've had it.
I don't know.
Never felt the need to have my own.
Yeah, but there's, you know, $8 bobas. Those are still busy.
I don't know, though. Like, I always kind of see a lot of, like, these boba places go in and out of, like, you know.
By GR, there's a whole bunch, though. But they all seem to be okay. They're They're all doing business. Fine,
though. The one, you know, that had my favorite, you know, pineapple mountain tea.
It rebranded. It's the same owner, evidently. He didn't want to pay the, I heard he didn't want to pay the licensing fees for the name, whatever it was. Yifeng?
Yeah.
I heard it's the same guy. So they, I don't know if he has that same flavor, but he might.
You know what place always kind of trips me out, and I, it's been there this entire time, is a sushi place like between you, between GR2 and Mizu 212.
Hide Sushi? The one that's been there a long
time? No, not Hide Sushi. The
Tsujita Sushi?
Tsujita Sushi.
Yeah.
Like that place has been there forever, and like I've never seen people in there.
There are. People go. It's expensive. Well, you know, it used to be more expensive. I heard they lowered their prices and made, what do you call it? Like more omakase type of things, but less expensive. I don't know what that means, but that's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. But I know it's pretty good.
Is it?
Like if you're going to get a chirashi bowl or something, yeah, go there and get it. Yeah, it's, I think that'll be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Quality-wise, good.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good one.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, like I don't know. Going back to this like art recession, like everything is, you know, like it just feels weird.
I can't put my finger on it either. But yeah, there's a weird because like I think I'm used to seeing people walk in and look more at the art, and they look at the art, but they're not looking at the prices. You know what I mean? They're just like, I kind of get it, but you know, it's like as if they're going through the motions of what they were doing, but then they're not remotely, it seems like they're not picking up the price sheet. You know what I mean? To look, they're just kind of going, no, that's nice. And then they're not. Mm-hmm. And I understand if they can't do it, but I don't know. There's a weird feeling and I'm not quite sure
what that is. I mean, you just had an opening, but like
we have Susie Garamani. Do you remember her? She's been in a lot of GR shows, and she was avid kind of like a reader of Giant Robot magazine. So we have a show with Susie. She does a lot of illustration and children's books. So we have a show like that with her.
Cool.
Yeah. And she's going to sign, you know, children's books. She and her mother released a book.
I don't know why.
Children's book. Yeah. So we'll have her signing, you know, children's books and having her art on the wall. And, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, no, she's an old friend. And I'm happy to do that.
See a lot of, you know, I remember like maybe 10 years ago or so, or maybe even 15 years ago or so, like all these artists were like doing children's books. And it was so cringe. Simply because of the fact that like people think to themselves, oh, it's a children's book. Oh, easy peasy, right? But like, cause it's for like kids, but it's not that easy.
Like, I don't think so. Yeah.
The art of crafting any kind of written word is not something that should be taken lightly, especially going to publishing.
Yeah. I think so. But I think there's a lot of like indie published ones, and then there's ones that are published by bigger, you know, like major publishers.
Right.
They have to have, I mean, I would assume the major publishers know what they're doing and have like bullshit meters out there.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope so, but yeah. But usually I think from what I understand, usually it's not just the artist that's writing it, right? Sometimes they're paired with actually a writer of a children's book. That's what I'm noticing. So a lot of Susie's books were done with another writer who writes it. And you'd think, wow, you need a writer for a children's book, which sounds like you could just make it up on the fly. But no, there's professional writers that do that, and they can't draw.
Right.
And then they get artists to do the drawing.
We're not all Dr. Seuss. So,
yeah. Oh, man. And like, think Dr. Seuss. Then there's a level up, Shel Silverstein. I mean, all, you know, there's the classics. They're genius.
Yeah.
No, they can't take that shit lightly. You know, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Mari Sendak.
I've never paid any attention to any. I barely read it all. So.
No, I understand. But you know, some of them don't have a lot of words, like one, you know, but I get it.
Yeah.
It's some heavy shit. It matters. It matters.
It does matter. That's bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But there are some children's books that are sort of geared, like, it's called a children's book, but it's kind of geared toward adults. You know, there is that.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was digging through some stuff and I found this copy of a children's book. I'm doing air quotes. That Mark Ryden and Marion Peck put together. And it was actually all like photography. It wasn't even really like illustrated. And these had like all the, like a, you know, a, like kind of like a raggedy, like, you know, girl, a bear and like a teddy bear, or, and then like some other kind of weird plush, like having a picnic. And then like a genie shows up or something and showers them with candy. And then they like eat all the candy until they puke, you know, and like, they're like, oh, I feel like I'm dying. And then like, you know, they recover and they go back at it again. You know?
And, okay.
And I was just like, oh, that was cute. And it's obviously done in the children's book style. But it was more just kind of like, you know, it's obviously, you know, a message for adults about, whatchamacallit, gluttony. So.
Damn.
Anyways.
Wow. Sounds cool. So when are we going to podcast next?
I would ideally like to try and do this in a week or two from now.
Okay.
Or, you know what we should do is, you know, so if you're listening to the podcast, you know, the week 4th of July, you know that this weekend is also Anime Expo weekend.
Whoa.
And I've got a badge for it. And I might be able to hook you up, Eric, with a badge.
Sunday, as you said, Sunday. Sounds Sunday fun to me.
So maybe we should go and then we could report in. Or we could do it, or we could do an IG live.
Ooh.
You know,
yes.
You know, and just kind of like make our way through, look at the artist alley, you know. We could go head hunting for some artists for the gallery.
Oh, okay. That's important. Okay, we're going. Anyways, sounds good. So, that sounds fun. Maybe we do that next Wednesday.
Yeah.
Next Wednesday.
Yeah, let's shoot for next Wednesday. Okay,
let's shoot for next Wednesday. Two weeks in a row. Can you handle it?
We could do this. I think we could do this, okay. Eric. I know, okay.
If we keep it simple, we can do it.
Yeah. And I think we're just about hitting the 1 hour mark. You know,
no, we've hit it.
Yeah. So let's wrap it up and let's next week.
All righty. So. Okay, everybody. This is Robot and the Bear. I think this is episode 87. I think it's 87.
Oh, wow. I stopped counting. The numbers got too high. I couldn't count it with my digits anymore. So. Oh. I know. Awesome. The irregularity like made me lose count, Eric.
That is a fact.
Let's call this 87 and then like me and like next week. They'll be the auspicious
88. Okay. Awesome, man. Take care.
All right. Yeah, all right. You guys have a good night. Thank you.